let's talk about the UN U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley. So the great pranksters, Volen and Lexis, managed to pose as the Polish prime minister and called Nikki Haley right after the UN vote, Mike. And the U.S. got absolutely slaughtered on this vote for Israel and the U.S. just got their lunch handed to them on this vote. And so these guys are amazing. They've managed to do this with like Adam Schiff and others and make fools out of them. So in this one, they lure him in. I'm not going to play the whole clip, but you can go online and check it out. But they lure her in. They get her comfortable. These guys are brilliant. And they do this with totally deadpan. And so he's the Polish prime minister and manages to get her kind of comfortable and confident, and then basically drops some of the big one on her, which is basically about a fictitious island in the South China Sea. And Nikki Haley acts like she knows all about this island, and they're accusing Putin of being involved in the election there. So this fictitious island in the South China Sea called Bonomo was apparently Putin was involved in rigging a referendum there. And of course, Nikki Haley knew all about it, but of course it didn't happen. So she kind of looked stupid, but let's listen to these two. This is the phone call, which is just made public, I think yesterday or the day after. Hold on.
And I'm also interested how the U.S. could help the Poland in the UN and during our cooperation.
Well, I think that, first of all, obviously, whatever issues Joanna finds that she wants to push in the Security Council and any issues that she thinks will be important to Poland, we will always try and support those. And so as soon as she knows more of the issues that she wants to really work on or deal with, I know that her presidency, I believe, is in May. And so in May is when you will have the opportunity to really plan the program of work and decide what the calendar is going to look like. And so we'll certainly support her in every way that we can to make sure that your issues are heard and that you know where we stand on those issues.
We are ready to help you to work together in May. I mean, so we are absolutely ready. And in many cases, in the Syrian case and many other, and especially with the Israel cases. So you can trust us.
Well, and that's very helpful. And I did tell Joanna that since this is new for Poland, the U.S. is there to assist and help in making sure the transition to the Security Council goes very well. So please don't hesitate to call us with any questions or any ask of assistance, and we'll be happy to help.
I'm really pleased for your answers. And one more matter is island Bonomo. It's not far from Vietnam in the South China Sea, you know.
Okay.
You know Bonomo?
Yes, yes.
They declared independence.
Right.
They had elections, and we suppose Russia had its intervention.
Yes, of course they did. Absolutely.
And now this Bonomo land makes the situation in the South China Sea even more tense.
And we're aware of that, and we've been watching that very closely, and I think we'll continue to watch that as we deal with the issues that keep coming up about the South China Sea.
Mike, is this unbelievable or what?
Yeah. I'm speechless.
We're on top of that situation. Yes, yes, we're paying very close attention to that. So this is what where psychologists would call the social desirability factor, where someone says something, you don't want to seem to be ignorant of current events, so you just nod your head and say, oh, you know all about it, when in fact you're being presented with a fictitious scenario. So this is my ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, here. Let me listen just to the... We'll finish this up. It does get worse, by the way.
Yes, that's correct. What should be done because of this Bonomo?
Let me find out exactly what our stance is on that, and if anything the U.S. is doing or thinks should be done, and I will report back to you on that as well.
And what is your view?
You know, I can't speak without getting the administration's view on it. Let me find out from them, and then I'll get back to you.
What do you think about Binomo? It's a B-I-N-O-M-E-L. I mean, Binomo. You know that?
Right, right. No, I mean, I think our concern is everything that's going on in the South China Sea and the influence that continues to push that way. Our goal is to make sure that it stays intact and that, you know, we don't see intrusion or any sort of bullying in terms of that. So I know that we have, we're supposed to be having White House meetings on all issues with the South China Sea coming forward, and so I think we'll have more answers at that time.
And I should you to aware that you should be you should keep in safety your consulate, sir.
Okay. I think. Yes.
And I don't know what Putin will make with that, because it's a really dangerous issue.
No, and that's what we're watching carefully. Is we're very aware.
So that's my just a point, and I just want to ask you: will Putin be so aggressive regarding the Europe in next year?
This is just unbelievable. Like, so how come U.S. crank callers could never do this to Russian officials? How is this so easily done to American officials? And why is that, is the question. Is it because of security, or is it because American officials are so stupid and so out of touch with really what's going on in reality that they can just be had any which way? I mean, this is incredible, Mike.
It is. I mean, I'm not certain that I can actually answer that question. I have to admit, I'm quite speechless by this.
It gets worse. He says after that, oh my God, there's a bit about Kevin Spacey after this. let's listen to the rest. Hold on.
Just worry about it.
Well, you know, it's hard to know what Russia is doing right now. I think what we have seen in the Security Council and otherwise is they are trying to be relevant in every region, and they're trying to have some sort of say in every region. In some cases, it has worked for them, and in some cases, it hasn't. So they don't have the influence that I think they would like to have, but they're certainly trying to get that. And I think that many of the other countries, whether it's the Security Council or otherwise, are watching it very cautiously and carefully to make sure that they don't get too much of a foothold where they can cause chaos.
I really worry about our membership in next year, and we will be members as like Russia, and I'm just really worried about our country. So how will we work with this aggressive member?
Well, just know that we'll continue to work with you. They are aggressive, and they can be difficult to work with on the council. But, you know, the Security Council very much tries to be united where we can. And when we see something wrong, we try and call it out. And so there can be some difficult issues, and they do try and cause some disruption. But I think we do continue to try and work with them to make sure that doesn't happen.
So I hope we can unite against Russia in the next year in our council.
We will be happy to continue working with you on all the issues that come up and work together in every situation that we possibly can.
Yes, I hope so. And because I just really worked, and I spoke with our president, and I spoke with our representative in the UN, and they told that the situation around Russia is crazy, and it's crazier.
It is very, and but we manage them, and we continue to remind them what their place is, and so it's
wow.
We remind them what their place is. I'm not certain that Boris Johnson was reminding them what their place is when he visited a couple of days ago, Patrick.
Oh, well, yeah, Boris did visit Moscow, didn't he? That was it's beyond, I'm not embarrassed, or I don't know anyone should be embarrassed about Boris Johnson's antics in Moscow. He should be embarrassed, actually, but the arrogance is just unparalleled, Mike. This guy just moseys in there and just starts basically barking around everybody and think, expecting that everyone's going to laugh at his jokes. And I don't think he really, I'm a committed Russophile, he said. I don't think he really understands Russian mentality to go in there with that sort of front. I don't think he does actually understand Russians at all, actually.
No, I don't think. No, he doesn't. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand very much of anything, as far as I can see. I'm a Russophile. I'm a committed Russophile. I took the trouble before becoming Foreign Secretary to station my ancestors around the world. He said. I mean, what? took the trouble before becoming Foreign Secretary to station my ancestors around the world. I'm not certain what drug he was on when he made this statement in Russia, but you know, as you say, the arrogance is unbelievable.
Yeah.
One of the first things he said was, "We speak up for the LGBT community in Chechnya and elsewhere, as people would expect from us, but they would also expect that Britain and Russia, as two P5 countries, should be able, where possible, to coordinate and work together on the issues that matter to our voters on the issues that matter to the people of the world."
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, is this really what he went to Russia to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is somebody who doesn't have any high ground at all, basically anything, and is just going to look stupid. You can't threaten a country like Russia, making up stories about what they did to your elections without presenting any evidence, and then walk in there on a state visit and expect to be taken seriously. And I really don't think they get it, Mike. The Boris Johnsons of the world, they think because the newspapers and the media in this country goes along with the kind of official conspiracy theory that everything's a Russian organized plot, that they really think that people believe this. And so they walk in there with the front, like Johnson showed this week. And
So Pat, bearing in mind what we've just spoken about Google and Facebook and the shutdown of freedom of speech in the UK and in the United States, how ironic is it that then he went, after he met with Lavrov, he went to Plekhanov University, I probably pronounced that incorrectly, in Moscow. He gave a speech declaring the UK support for media freedom and human rights in Russia. Now, of course, if we recall what the quote that I've read out on this program a couple of times from BBC Media Action on their activities in Syria, and we look at what's the furore that's going on around Ms. Gary Ratcliffe at the moment with regard to Iran, and so he's over there promoting UK support for media freedom and human rights in Russia, support for civil society organizations, which, of course, he's still bitter that Russia has shut down the activities of foreign agents in civil society, if you know the types of foreign agents I'm talking about. But he still goes over there in his arrogance and makes these statements about supporting freedom of the press and freedom of speech in Russia, while at the same time shutting it down in the UK. It's spectacular.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Well, this civil society, which is basically subterfuge, in another word, that's kind of what we're looking at there. And we'll be digging more into this in the coming weeks and months. You can be sure of that. But it's breathtaking.